Okay, it's October 25th, 2022, 16, 17 hours, Ward Green here. I just got up. It's just the start of my day. I had a good sleep. I had at least 8 hours, but I mean, I laid in bed for 3 hours, I just realized, but I was watching some videos. I did some study on the Viberg boots. I learned a lot about Vibergs, but I can see that there's a lot more to learn about them. And one of the things about them is they might be heavy. Like, they might be fairly heavy in terms of, and they're, some of them, I know some of them are heavy, and some of them are, they're old-fashioned in some ways because they're heavy, but that's good in, because they're constructed well, but it has its drawbacks. And then they have, there's one of them, they only make it on a wide last, so you can only get it for, you can't get the D width, which is standard. You can only get the wider one, E width, which for my feet might not work because I have narrow feet. I mean, my heel is slipping, it's not going to work. Or it's, maybe eventually they will break in, but also you get blisters when you're breaking them in, which is, I mean, that's, maybe that's, for me, I might never get to break them in if I don't wear them enough. So, but it's not necessarily a bad thing to have to break in a pair of boots. But I also found out you can get Vibergs for, no, maybe those are American prices, come to think of it. Yeah, those are American prices. Yeah, okay. But they have Viberg work boots on workboot.com, and they were like $700, you know, but they were probably American prices, I think. Or maybe not. Wait a minute. What was it? I was on my iPad. I wasn't on my computer. So I don't know what it's going to be. I can't see in the dark. I can't type. What's happening? There we go. Okay. See if I can find this. I want to play something from Oscar Peterson Legacy channel on YouTube. These are his recordings. There's no video. It's just recordings, and he won, I believe, 7 Grammys, Oscar Peterson. 7 Grammys, okay. I was going to say, I feel like I've been doing what I'm doing now for 65 years, because that's how old I am. But I haven't been doing this for 65 years. It just feels like it. But, I mean, seriously, I feel like all the knowledge I have, I've had it for 65 years. But even if I had, I still would not know anything more than what I know now, I'm sure, because the universe is so complex. And I got my, oh yeah, I want to talk about my foot powder and my shoes. I want to do that today, and also do our readings. Psalm 25 is a short one, fortunately, not too long. I don't know about Isaiah 5. I suspect Isaiah 5 is pretty short. But Viberg collections on the workboots.com. No, they're Canadian. Yeah, so these are out of stock, I think, because Viberg, that's why, they were Canadian prices. That I was correct. So in my first assessment, which was, I was comparing these prices, which are $600, $700 for a pair of boots, and there's some of them are very high boots, you know, but compared to $1,100, $1,200 on the Viberg website for boots that are not as high, because that's their prices nowadays. But these boots, I believe, are out of stock, you know, old stock. I mean, you know, they don't make them anymore. That's what I think. And some of them are steel toes, but on their on Viberg website, they don't have steel toes. It's interesting. At least I couldn't find any, not yet, but I don't think they have them. But when they're CSA approved, then they have steel toes. And these boots, I guess they're old stock. They range from 600, you know, even 400, 500. Say 500 with tax and shipping and all that. Or maybe more than 500 with shipping, but just with tax, it's $500. Or the top one is 741 plus tax, or 750. That's the biggest. So $800, more than 800. So they're getting up there, but that was the Chokerman 10-inch high. Anyway, that's Byberg. Okay. There's a lot of things to talk about today. I'm going to play Oscar Peterson. Listen to this stuff. It's unbelievable. I'm only going to play the first song, but there's a... what do you call those things? You know, a grouping on YouTube? An album. It's an album, I guess. Or no, is it called an album? What's it called? A playlist. That's what they're called. Yeah, there's a playlist on YouTube. Oscar Peterson. The Oscar Peterson Trio. This is 11. And this is number one out of 11 songs. But no, I want to play you Georgia On My Mind, actually, which is number 3. That's the stuff I'm talking about. Yeah, that's it. That's it. There it is. That's the blues. That is the blues. In my mind. That's the blues. That's what I mean by blues. I didn't know Oscar played. I had no idea that he... It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And all of... That's it. That's unbelievable. Oscar Peterson. Georgia On My Mind. Every one of these songs, every one of those 11 songs on that list. I mean, I could play all 11 right now. But I mean, the audio quality is not as good when I'm recording it through my microphone on my laptop. Go to YouTube if you want to hear it. The quality is unbelievable. It's called Oscar Peterson Legacy Channel, and it's the Oscar Peterson Trio is the name of this playlist. I guess that's all it is. I guess that's the name of it. I'm not sure, but if I go, let me go. I'm going to check it out just so I can tell you better, because if you want to hear this, it's absolutely phenomenal. Every one of those particular 11 is equal in terms of, well, they're not all as bluesy, maybe. They're all very bluesy, but they're not all the same as that one. But I mean, even the first one and the second one, I mean, I know they're all pretty much in that same style. But, I mean, they're brilliant. They're just brilliant stuff. It's just amazing. So I haven't even gone. I just discovered this Legacy channel yesterday. That's the first thing I've ever listened to. And that's the only thing I've ever listened to from this channel. So I have no idea what's on there. I'm guessing it's pretty good, but I don't know what to guess. I hope it's no better than that, because I might die on the spot. But I mean, it's really good. I mean, it can't be better than that, can it? Like, that's the best. It's not just the best blues, it's the best piano playing I think I've ever heard, as well as the best blues. Like, because he nails it, and it's effortless. Like, he nails it, but it's effortless. Like, well, yeah. I can't talk about my piano playing, so excluding myself, I have to exclude myself. There's no question that that is the piano playing that I will be listening to, will be Oscar Peterson. If I'm not listening to my own, I have to listen to my own stuff because I have to know what I'm doing and how to improve it. But Oscar Peterson, I wish I'd heard this before, but we could not have heard it because we didn't have the internet. We couldn't have bought every album. You know, it's just, and we didn't even have it. Record stores in the town I lived in, nothing that could carry anything like that. I didn't live in New York. Even if I did, you know, I doubt they'd, you'd still have to search high and low to find any of these things. I mean, Oscar Peterson wouldn't be the most popular of all musicians in the world, you know. I mean, he was probably up there, but his records, I don't know about his records. It's not Billboard, you know. It's not top 40 or whatever you want to call it. It's not hit songs, you know, so it's not easy to find it. It's crazy. So that was a playlist that somebody made, but you're not going to find the playlists. It's just crazy. I don't know where this playlist... Okay, wait a minute. Okay, no, I got to go to playlists. Oh, there it is. Okay. There's 8 different ones from Oscar Peterson Live. I haven't heard that, but I mean, this is not live. What we're hearing is a studio recording. That's why it's so polished, you know? That's what's so polished about it. It's. But Oscar can play live, and it sounds polished. That's the thing. But I mean, it's never as polished live. So look at this. Playlists, there they are. But there's the 11. No, that's At Home with Oscar. No, there's 11, but it's called At Home with Oscar. That's not it. So I do not see. Okay, wait a minute. Oh, I got to go to the right. Ah, there's more. There's more. Okay, if I go to the right. Albums and singles. I think it's one of his albums that this comes from. That's what it is. That's what I think it is. It's so. Well, I didn't find it. I didn't find it. Oh, that's too bad. Okay, so good. Albums and singles. Playlists. I don't see it. I don't see it. So you might have to find it. I expected I'd find it, but I don't see it. there are a lot of other things here that might be as good. I don't think they could be better. But what do I know? I don't know. I don't really know. Anyway, I want to just talk about Oscar all day long, but I can't because there's so many other things to talk about. But I want to do that. I can't resist it. That's the problem. There's too many things to say about Oscar Peterson. Well, where did that playlist come from? That doesn't make any sense. While I'm talking about it, I should be playing something else from the list. Let's play number one, Night Train. While I'm talking, I don't know where this came from. Mix, I guess. No, it's not. That's something else. It's not a mix. This is not. Well, it is a mix. I guess it's. Maybe it's called Night Train. No. That's the name of the song. That's not the name of the mix. It might be the name of the mix. Because that's the first song on the list. Yeah. It's a mix. They're usually called mix, right? No, it's not a mix, though. Yeah, there it is. Mix. Okay, Night Train. It's maybe this is it. I'm going to open it in a new tab. Stop. Just a minute. Yeah. No, this is a mix. That's not just... That's a mix. That's not just Oscar. This is just Oscar. Everything here is Oscar. In this mix, all of it is Oscar Peterson. It's all from Oscar Peterson Legacy, too. They're all from that channel, all these songs. All 11. 11 songs from... 11 songs, all from Oscar Peterson Legacy. Stop. That's a little different. That one obviously is just a little different, but it's you can play this as a loop the whole thing, but it stops. Every problem is it stops every once in a while and asks you, do you want to keep playing? It doesn't just loop. I wish it would loop all 11 songs all day long. I could, you know, it's, I wish I could get it to do that, because I could just listen to that all day long while I'm doing whatever I'm doing. I could listen to that in the background. It just could seep into my soul. You know what I'm going to do first? I'm going to turn off the heat. I almost had an accident just now. I almost destroyed this heat shield. Knocked it down. I have a worry about my new watch strap. I'm worried that it's not going to fit because it's not the size of the strap, but even that might not. But no, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the way that the strap is inserted. It's a little, the pin has to be inserted into the watch. But this thickness of this nylon is thicker at the top there. That I don't know if I can push it far enough in to get the pins in. That's what I'm worried about. And so I know there's no advantage in worrying, but I don't really want to change my watch strap right now. So if I don't change the watch strap, because the watch strap is still okay, if I don't change the strap, then I'll have to worry about whether that other one's going to fit. I don't like worrying. You know, that's where procrastination is not good, is when you worry about something because you're procrastinating. That's when procrastination is the worst. It's not a good thing in that scenario where you're worried. You should never procrastinate when you're worried. You have to get whatever you're worried about, you should do it right away. That's the way you prevent worry, is you solve the problem. Like, years ago we had to wait sometimes because we couldn't just go on Amazon and order something to solve our problem. Oh my God, that's rose geranium oil? Wow, oh my goodness, that is phenomenal. rose geranium oil. Oh, that smells absolutely divine. What am I going to do? That, if there were smells in heaven, this would be one of them. I'm not kidding you. Okay, I'm just saying something. I want to say, you know what? I want to do everything all at once. I want to eat. Oh, I'm gonna have a potato chip. Huh. Okay. Remember, I showed you my Spyro shoes. I'm not sure who made the sole. The sole is made by WaveSpring. It's a WaveSpring, yeah. I didn't realize the whole sole was made. It's the whole sole made by WaveSpring, but it has a spring built into it so that when you're walking, it springs you. It sort of propels you. Like, I didn't want people to get the wrong idea and think that, well, that's built for, you know, disabled people. It's not. But it seems like it is. But mine fit me. They're so tight. Those are so tight that they're almost disabling anyway. So they almost disable me in some ways. I don't really want to run in those. But I think I could run in those. It's just they're so tight. I don't know what would happen if I ran. You know what? These shoes are very old. By the way, that I was thinking about it. The man who was hit by the car, that was 42 years ago. When I worked at Atomic Energy, that was 1980. It was 1980, yeah. So, and I was going, that was probably rush hour, going home from work. This guy was running across the road he ran across, I got off the bus right when he was, maybe I was off the bus when I saw him get hit. That's possible. But we all saw him running. We were all on the bus. The people on the bus saw the guy running up toward the stoplight, and we were going to the stoplight. Then I got off at the next stop, which is that stoplight. And I think, at least this is what I think must have happened. I must have got off at this stoplight. But we saw him run across in front of the bus. That was before I got off. He was crossing with the light in that case, because our bus was stopping. He was running in front of us. But then he kept running down the boulevard, and he crossed one lane of traffic where the traffic was coming toward him. And he crossed that successfully, I guess because there weren't many cars or something. But or maybe there were. I think there might have been. He got through that lane. The next, it was a double lane at least, maybe triple lane, but he crossed two lanes and then jumped the median, and he was still, he was swinging his hat in a circle and whooping it up as he was running this whole time, at least at some point when he started crossing the street, whether it was before he ran in front of the bus or what, he was whooping with his, swinging the hat. He kept doing this, swinging the hat and whooping. And then he started crossing this busy street. He made it across the one double lane section and then jumped the median. He made it past one car, one lane, he was okay, but the next one, he couldn't see the guy coming. I mean, the guy running couldn't see the car because the first car was stopped in time, but blocked his vision of the next car coming. And it hit him, he rolled over, thumpity thump. That's what happened. So you hear the thumpity thump. That's what it sounds like when a guy goes over a car at high speed, where the car's moving at high speed. And then, like, he didn't land on his head, so, I mean, but he didn't move when he, I mean, I thought he'll probably get up, right? But at this point, maybe I was on the street already at this point, I don't know. I saw this, I heard it, I know what it sounded like, so I may have been, I think I was still on the bus at the time it happened, but then I got off the bus because that was my stop. I crossed the street. right by that time the light had changed or whatever, but or soon after, and then I was on the side where he was. As I was walking toward my apartment, I was on the side that he was on, so I could walk right past the guy's body. He was conscious, I believe, conscious and alive, but he wasn't moving much, you know, so he was hurt. And then I stuck around. I'm pretty sure I waited till the ambulance came because I wanted to know what happened to the guy. I wanted to know he was okay or whatever, or that he was going to be okay. So I stuck around till the ambulance came. So maybe I even saw the people who were calling the ambulance or what. I don't remember that part. But I didn't have a phone. Well, we didn't have cell phones, right? This is 40 years ago, 42 years ago. So somebody must have called an ambulance. And the guy got an ambulance, I think. I seem to remember him being put on a stretcher and taken away, but we don't know. He might have died. He might have died. I don't know. He seemed okay. Maybe he survived, right? So that's, I mean, it just, because he rolled over the car, you'd think that wasn't the biggest impact. He didn't get hit by the car. He went over the car, right? So the impact wasn't maximal. He should survive. I was going to say, I almost expected him to get up and walk away because he was so exuberant, like running, whooping, and running across, you know, you'd think the guy's okay, right? He just got hit by a car, but he's going to get up and walk away, right? And run, he'll run away whooping. But no, he didn't get up. So that was the thing that told me this guy must be really hurt, like he's not getting up. But there was no way to know. You don't know, right? If you've never seen that, you don't understand. You don't know. But look at this. Okay, so that's the WaveSpring shoe. And I've had those shoes not for 40 years. I've had those shoes for maybe for 20 years, maybe even for 20 years. I don't know. I probably bought them, though, when I was in Florida or something. No, I might have bought them downtown here at Mountain Equipment. But if I bought them downtown, they could be more than 20 years old. If I bought them in Florida, they're probably, I think we started to go to Florida around the year 2000, or a little bit later maybe. I'm not sure, but that's what I think. We were there in 2003, I think, or definitely in 2006-ish. You know, I mean, we used to go to Florida. Every year we'd go to Florida, starting in some year. Around 2000, we started going to Florida. That's what I think. Somewhere vaguely, but maybe after 2000. And we'd go pretty well every year, but maybe we didn't go every year. And at some point, we stopped going to Florida, too. We didn't go every year anymore. But, you know, we really enjoyed going to Florida. But I bought some shoes when I was down there. I may have bought those Spyro shoes in Florida, but in that case, they may be around, it still could be around 20 years old. And I've worn them so seldom, they don't smell. I've never worn them to the point where I got sweaty in them. Like those shoes are still, and I've used foot powder. So those shoes smell pretty well brand new. Like they smell brand new. They don't look exactly brand new, but they look almost, you can see, almost brand new, right? I mean, they're still good condition. I mean, almost, maybe not mint, but I'm pretty close. This, I don't think I showed you. These are the Gel Cumulus 22 ASICS. 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 I wanted to do that for lip readers so that my lips are visible. But look at this. They weigh nothing. Like that. That's the thing, and they're some of the best shoes for runners ever made. Like, I think probably some of the best running shoes ever made. These weigh about four times as much, I think, four times as heavy. These Spyros. I mean, the difference is like, wow. I mean, I don't know. I'm serious. I mean, I don't think it's just double. I think it's like three or four times heavier. So if I were, you know, it makes a difference, right? Light. But I've never worn the ASICS except I must have worn them once. at least, but I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to wear them much because I think they're so fantastic. I love them. But I mean, I don't need to wear them for working or anything, so I'm not going to wear them for anything like that. But, you know, well, I'll wear them if I want to run. Because if I want to run, those Asics are the best shoes that I've ever seen for running. And they fit. So they're going to be fantastic. Anyway, so the foot powder is the next topic. This is the stuff I was buying. It's tea tree and white clay foot powder. Natural skin care. But, you know, it costs $20 for a little tiny jar. So the recipe is kale and white clay, arrowroot powder, tea tree oil, peppermint, black walnut hull. That's the hull of black walnuts, which is ground up into a powder. So it's black walnut hull powder, aloe vera powder, and rose geranium oil, which I just showed you. The rose geranium oil. Where's that label? There it is. I mean, that's amazing stuff. Who makes that? Spruce is the name of the company. But that oil, oh my goodness. I'm going to remember the name of this company because that's a beautiful little jar. So this is the recipe. So I have to figure out, usually recipes mean the first ingredient is the one that's in the biggest quantity. But I don't think it's true in this case because tea tree oil and peppermint are not going to be in larger volume. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to put, you know, 2 ounces of tea tree oil. You're going to put like a few drops, 25 drops. I looked up recipes, okay, online for foot powder, and the biggest one had 4 ounces of something. Plus, it was using, I forget what they used, whether it was baking soda or whatever, or arrowroot powder or whatever. But they didn't use this clay. They weren't using kale and clay. Oh, I want to show you the ingredients. I got the kale and clay. And both, the amazing thing, I picked up my package yesterday. Both of them arrived the same day. That's impossible. Because this one came from the U.S. Kale and white clay from the U.S. imported customs and all that. At the same time, where's the other one? Here, is this it? Yeah, this is it. Okay, it came in a box. This is the other white clay from my nutrition place. I got this. And I want, you know what causes people to stutter? I'll tell you, what I think causes people to stutter is because they're trying to say too many different things at the same time. That's what it is in my case. I stutter when I'm trying to say more than one thing. There's no reason to stutter otherwise. I've got too many thoughts trying to come out the same mouth opening at the same time. That's what causes me to stutter. So it's not because I have nothing to say. That's not why I'm stuttering. I'm stuttering because I have too much to say. Well, look, this bag is broken. Or it's broken. There's a hole in the bag. And that's the kale and clay. Oh, actually smells very interesting, but it's broken, so I'll put this bag in another bag. I'll get another bag right now. But that's beautiful. This is superfine British clay. British clay, superfine British clay. Kale and white. I think that was the one I ordered first. I started to doubt that it was going to arrive, so I ordered this one just to make sure. And this is Fogel. A Fogel is the brand. And it just says white clay, but it's the same. It's the same thing. It's, well, hopefully, probably, but we don't know. I don't know. We need a bag. Where are the bags? Got one. Good. Perfect. I'll have to fix the cupboard later. But the cupboard is a bit. It's usually in perfect order, but it's not in perfect order once I open it and take out a bag. Okay, going to be, I'm going to put this away. This is going in a bag. Let's find out, is this the same stuff? Well, this is the only stuff that I've seen. I haven't opened the other one yet. So I don't know what the other one's like. I'll have to find out if they're the same. I'm going to make this foot powder maybe right in a video. I'm going to try to make it in a video. I'll try to experiment in a video if I can to try and show what I do, how I do it, because I don't think most people are going to be able to do it. I know lots of people will be able to do it, but I think most people will not know how to do it, how to make a recipe. So that's the white clay. 400 grams. The other one was like kilograms. What was it? 1 kilogram. So I got another 400 grams. That was my backup plan in case the first package didn't come. So now I've got the aloe vera. I've never had any aloe vera in my life. That's why I don't know how to pronounce it. Organic arrowroot, right? We had the rose geranium oil. We've got the black walnut hulls, or powder of the hulls. And what else? We have tea tree oil from Australia. And we also have, I've got peppermint oil. So stupid. What's happening? Okay, I'm hungry. So, when they give you a list, you got to combine these things. With quantities that are roughly in the order I have to swallow before I can sneeze. It's no good. Okay. You got to combine them in the order. Roughly, in the quantity, the larger quantities for the earlier things on the list. Like the first thing is kale and clay. That's probably mostly what it is. It looks like this is mostly kale and clay, because that's what it is. It's mainly white. Now, arrowroot powder is white too, so I think. So it's probably going to be similar in quantity, because the foot powder recipes that I've seen are like, I need to take a break here. I don't want to stop the video. I'll just play some Oscar. Let's go with Sea Jam Blues. I'll be right back. Okay. Thank you. Okay. I dropped potato chip on the floor. I can throw that one out. So what I think I'll do, I saw some recipes that had arrowroot, more 45 grams arrowroot to in proportion to 35 for the white clay. Now the potato chip is going to prevent me from talking, getting caught in my throat. 45 grams of arrowroot and 35 grams of kale and white clay. That was a recipe I saw online. So that suggests the arrowroot is more than just a small amount. So it's probably, this is probably kale and clay, you know, one part. Or look, let's say 10 parts kale and clay for now. And maybe 9 parts arrowroot, or maybe it's 10 parts kale and clay, then 8 parts arrowroot. And then we get into, you know, tea tree oil. If I'm only making 4 ounces, 100 grams is about 4 ounces, but something like that. If I'm only making 4 ounces, I might use 25 drops of tea tree oil. How many drops of geranium oil? Maybe. That smells really powerful, so maybe only a few drops, like maybe 4 drops or something, 3 or 4 drops of that. I don't know. I mean, I don't want it to smell like rose geranium oil on my feet, so it's going to have to be a very small amount of the rose geranium oil because it's so powerful smelling. And this foot powder, which allegedly has rose geranium, it doesn't smell like rose geranium because it has the other things like the tea tree, and tea tree is a very powerful aroma too. So those, and also has peppermint. It has peppermint in the recipe, and it doesn't smell. It doesn't smell like peppermint either. You can smell the peppermint, but it doesn't smell like peppermint. If you know what I mean, it doesn't smell overtly peppermint. It's more a combination. It's very aromatic because you're smelling the tea tree oil, I guess. Assuming it has those in it, I'm smelling all of those peppermint, tea tree, and rose geranium all mixed up. So what I could do is mix just the 3 oils together and try that first and find out what's the combination that I like for the smell of those 3 oils. That's what I might do first. Once I figure out how many drops of each of those oils will make this smell, but then I won't know how it's going to smell because I won't know what it smells like with the powder. And then I'll combine the 4 powders, aloe vera, black hull, or black walnut hull powder, the aloe vera, black walnut hull powder, they're going to be maybe, I'm thinking like 10 parts clay to 3 parts aloe vera, that's what I'm thinking. So maybe only 2 parts of black hull, or maybe only 1. But black hull, I'm going to call it black hull. The black hull powder is supposed to be good for antifungal as well. So you don't want to skimp on that too much because it's for your antifungal, for your feet, right? So it's got to be at least 2 parts out of 10, I think. But that's my thought. At least 1 for sure, 1 in 10. But that's just my thought. I could be wrong. Maybe it's less than 1 in 10. But you need some of that black hull powder. And it's the last on the list, so aloe vera has to be more than it, whatever it is. Excuse me. Why did I think I could talk while I'm eating? What did I do yesterday? Well, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about welding. So that's all for the foot powder. I'm going to investigate. I just came up with a recipe just now. I'd never thought about how many. I just came up with it completely off the cuff right now. Those ideas I just gave. Never had any idea. Not a single idea until now. And that's what I'm thinking right now. Something like 10 parts clay down to 1 of the hull. Right? possible. So that means the geranium oil is a very small component because it was last on the list. But the tea tree oil, you can't put like 2 ounces of tea tree oil, can you? Because wouldn't it make this wet instead of dry? I mean, it's dry. You know, the powder just runs around, as powder does. You know, I can tip the bottle, and the powder just flows out of a small hole. Even if I don't squeeze the bottle, it just flows out. So it's very dry. And it's the most phenomenal, beautiful powder to have on your feet, too. Like it's, and it gets on your hands, but it doesn't smell bad. Afterward, you can smell your fingers. It actually smells nice to have the foot powder on your fingers. It's a natural, all organic. It can be all organic. It can be if you bought organic ingredients. The rose geranium oil, that's not organic, but it's a natural essential oil, you know, so they don't bother with organic when you're talking, but it comes from some flower. It's probably gotten in a meadow somewhere, you know, it's not like, it's not organic, it's just, it's natural. The black hull powder, organic black walnut hull powder, amazing. They might even have something on the back here. Yeah, you know, people use this against athlete's foot. They use it. I used to get athlete's foot, and I used to buy some chemical called tinactin to use on my feet. But I'm not believing in. I don't need that anymore. I got tea tree oil. I got all the antifungals I need. I've got this is an antifungal, black walnut, or as I'm going to call it, black hull powder. Organic arrowroot. See that? Kale and white clay. The white clay is not, it's not organic, okay? It's not organic. It's just clay that comes from the ground. Like it's not grown. So it's not organic. It's a clay. Like it's, you know what I mean? So it's dirt. It's dirt. Clay. It's dirt. That's what it is, right? It's just from the ground, so it's not called organic. Organic usually refers to life forms, right? Whereas rock is rock. You don't have organic rock. You know what I mean? You don't have organic rock and chemically grown rock. There's no rock that's grown generally. I mean, you can make rock chemically. You can make rock, man-made rock, but I mean, kale and clay is natural rock. Clay. Natural clay. They get it from the bottom of the ocean. The bottom of the ocean or something like that. Or wherever they can find it. But here it is. This is the thing that came with Fogel. The clay. Is it all French? Wait a minute. It seems all French. Here it is. It's English on the inside. Ancient seafloor deposits. 100% natural without additives or preservatives. So, I mean, you can see that you can spend a lifetime studying that clay alone. But, I mean, that's the truth. We're not going to spend a lifetime right now on that. Psalms 25 of David. Jehovah help us. To retain the information that we're learning from your word so that we can be wiser and thereby help others by our example and our teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Look, of David, Psalm 25. To you, O Jehovah, I raise my very soul. O my God, in you I have put my trust. O may I not be ashamed. May my enemies not exult over me. Also, none of those hoping in you will be ashamed. They will be ashamed who are dealing treacherously without success. Make me know your own ways, O Jehovah. Teach me your own paths. Make me walk in your truth and teach me, for you are my God of salvation. In you I have hoped all day long. Remember your mercies, O Jehovah, and your loving kindnesses, for they are from time indefinite. The sins of my youth and my revolts, O, do not remember. According to your loving kindness, do you yourself remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Jehovah. Good and upright is Jehovah. That is why he instructs sinners in the way. He will cause the meek ones to walk in his judicial decision, and he will teach the meek ones his way. All the paths of Jehovah are loving kindness and trueness for those observing his covenant and his reminders. For your name's sake, O Jehovah, you must even forgive my error, for it is considerable. Who now is the man fearful of Jehovah? He will instruct him in the way that he will choose. His own soul will lodge in goodness itself, and his own offspring will take possession of the earth. The intimacy with Jehovah belongs to those fearful of him, also his covenant to cause them to know it. My eyes are constantly toward Jehovah, for he it is that brings my feet out of the net. Turn your face to me and show me favor, for I am solitary and afflicted. Distresses of my heart have multiplied. From the stresses upon me, O, bring me out. See my affliction and my trouble, and pardon all my sins. See how many my enemies have become, and with a violent hatred they have hated me. Do guard my soul and deliver me. May I not be ashamed, for I have taken refuge in you. Let integrity and uprightness themselves safeguard me, for I have hoped in you, O God. Redeem Israel out of all his distresses. Psalm 25. That's again, they always somewhat amaze me. Look at what it says, how David's enemies, he knew that they hated him. Right? He didn't hate them. His enemies hated him. And with a violent hatred. That is, you know, that stands out to me. That I never really, I mean, I know, I paid attention to it. I read it before. I just didn't. I guess once you have friends, too, in the truth, you have friends who believe the same as you do, or who are loving and kind, and they believe a lot of the same things you do, then this is kind of interesting. But before you have friends and you have everyone hating you, you basically don't have any friends.
Yeah. But
then you understand the scripture, right? Everyone, my enemies have hated me. It's very clear what it means. It's like every day. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's, I know what that is. Like, my enemies have become, you know, they've become many. It says there. You notice how many enemies you have when you have no friends. I mean, but you don't, you can't count them. You just, you stop counting, right? You're saying, well, I've got 17 enemies. If no one is your friend, then you've got unlimited enemies. You're not counting the enemies. But once you have friends, then you can say, well, there's an enemy. And it might not happen all that much, but because once you've got friends, you're not going to really be noticing the enemies much, and you're going to probably stay away from them anyway. You're not going to go deliberately toward your enemies, right? Remember the My Teen Life episode where the brother was, or was it the sister? Yeah, we're both. We're trying to avoid being, you know, if they could avoid their enemies, they try to avoid the enemy. You don't have to go where the enemy's going to be if you know the enemy is there. But the thing is, a lot of times with bullies, it's not just about avoiding them. Sometimes you need to confront your bullies and say, look, you know, whatever it is that you need to say to them, you need to say to them. You don't want to, you're not going to say something to make your bully angrier. That's not the point. But, I mean, that's not what you're trying to do. What you're trying to do is give your bully what they want, whatever that is. Like, if you're, you don't talk enough to the bully, that's why you're being bullied, right? Maybe you're, you know, but that doesn't mean you're going to compromise anything. You know, you're not going to compromise your principle. You're not going to say, well, you're not going to pay homage to your bully, or you're not going to pay a service fee to your bully so he won't bother you. Bullies aren't interested in that anyway. They're interested in the power. Bullies are only interested in having power. They're not interested in you having the power to pay them to keep them away. The only way to keep a bully away is to not be so passive, you know? If you're intense, if you have an intense reaction to a bully, right? If you're honest and you're intense and you're, if you love your bullies, like if someone tries to bully you and you love them and you just say right back to them, you know, whatever it is that shows your love to them, like you want them to feel loved. You got to show them that you love them in the way that they can understand immediately how much you love them. Then they'll leave you alone. That's the key, okay? That's the answer. You have to love your bully. If you don't love your bully in the first place, that's the problem. That's why they're bullying you. That's the problem, okay? They're bullying you because you don't love them. I mean, just because you don't love somebody doesn't mean you hate them either. But if you're not loving them enough, right? I mean, that's one of the problems. But I mean, we get persecution even when we're loving. I mean, there's still going to be persecution. But if somebody knows you, they can't persecute you and keep you. They can't keep you as this imaginary, nameless person that they talk to their friends about and lyingly say things about you behind your back to their friends. You can't do that. They can't do that. Once they know you personally, all you have to do is talk to them in such a way that it shows them you really care about them, and then that's done. They can't do that anymore. How can they talk to other people behind your back when you've given them something very precious like your love? I don't see it. It's not going to happen. So this is gossip, right? Is what's causing people to talk. This other thing, it's not causing, the gossip causes people to talk. It also causes these bullying actions. Bullies take action based on the gossip they heard about the people that they're bullying. Like somebody might have lied to the bully and said, this person is bad, or this is what their family does, or this is what their religion does, this, or this, whatever. Their skin color does these sorts of things. They talk to their own friends about you or whoever it is behind the back of that person. They talk about you behind your back to their friends, spreading lies about you, and then the bully comes and bullies you because you've been lied about, and the bully believes the lies. Or in some cases, the bully just picks you because you look vulnerable and the bully wants power. The bully wants power. That's all he cares about. So you can't barter your way out and say, well, I'll give you $5 to leave me alone. The bully doesn't want you to have the power, whether it's money or whatever. He doesn't want you to have power to buy him off. He just wants power over you. Maybe the bully has someone who's bullying him. What you need to do is teach the bully something that helps the bully overcome his bullies. You know, so you need to teach him something. But it's you know, you have to. I mean, but the thing is, some bullies are just very, they have this, they have a need, they've got violence inside and they have to, they don't know how to control it. So what I'm saying isn't going to work always. Sometimes talking to the bully is the worst thing you could ever do, right? Because it just stirs up more of the anger that the bully has toward you. Sometimes it's not going to work. But no, if the bully's threatening your life, you don't resist the wicked, okay? You don't resist the wicked. It's that simple. So you're never arguing with them. That's not it. We learned that the other day. Don't resist he that is wicked. Do not resist him that is wicked, right? But turn your other cheek. That's in the Sermon on the Mount, isn't it? I believe. Yeah. Yeah, it's in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. So let's go on. I don't know if we're going to get through this. I want to get through this in time. We're really late here in our study. Yeah, I'm going to have to rush through this and then jump to the end. We want Isaiah 5. Because it's October 25th. The pronouncement against Moab. It's short, fortunately. The pronouncement against Moab. Because in the night it has been despoiled. Ar of Moab itself has been silenced. Because in the night it has been despoiled. Kir of Moab itself has been silenced. He has gone up to the house and to Dibon, to the high places, to a weeping. Over Nebo and over Medeba, Moab itself howls. On all heads in it there is baldness. Every beard is clipped. In its streets they have girded on sackcloth, upon the roofs thereof, and in the public squares thereof, everyone thereof howls, going down with weeping, and Heshbon and Eleale cry out. As far as Jahaz, their voice has been heard. That is why the armed men of Moab themselves keep shouting. His very soul has quivered within him. My own heart cries out over Moab himself. The runaways thereof are as far along as Zoar and Eglath-Shelishiah. For on the ascent of Luhith, with weeping, each one goes up on it. For on the way to Horonaim, they arouse the outcry about the catastrophe. For the very waters of Nimrim become sheer desolations. For the green grass is dried up. The grass has come to an end. Nothing has become green. That is why the leftovers and their stored goods that they have put up, they keep carrying them away right over the torrent valley of the poplars. For the outcry has gone around the territory of Moab. The howling thereof is clear to Eglaim. The howling thereof is clear to Beer Elim. Because the very waters of Dimon have become full of blood. For upon Dimon I shall place additional things, such as a lion. For the escapees of Moab who escape, and for the remaining ones of the ground. That's the end of Isaiah. Oops. That's Isaiah. That's 15. I was trying to do chapter 5. So we're going to do 15 Isaiah today. We're not doing 5. Interesting. We're going to come back and do 5 some other time. That was fascinating because that applied today. That was perfectly applicable to what we were doing today. I accidentally chose 15. But look at this. I mean, it was not an accident because it was beautiful. If you imagine if your bully came to you and tried to bully you, and you said something like to your bully, let's say you just said to your bully out of the blue, you just said, "The runaways thereof are as far along as Zoar and Eglath Shalishalah, for on the ascent of Luhith with weeping, each one goes up on it." If you said that to your bully, the bully might go, "Oh, okay," and just walk away. I don't, or shake his head or something, or her head. Or I don't know what they would say, but they would give them food for thought. If you give your bully food for thought, then they're not sure anymore what they're doing, right? They're trying to get a reaction from you. A bully often will just be trying to get a reaction. It's not that they want power. They just want to get something from you, anything. Maybe money, but maybe they just want a bunch of words from you. Just say something. Say something that will keep them thinking for a long enough time that they can leave you alone for a while. That's another thing, another way to cope with bullies, is say something that's intricate, involved, technically detailed enough, that has enough. Or if you said the very waters of Nimrim become sheer desolations, that alone, just say that alone. The very waters of Nimrim become sheer desolations. That would be food for thought, I would think. I think it is. Seems like to me, yeah, that's something to think about, right? So that might give your bully enough to think about, to keep them guessing what's going on in your head. And that's what you want, is you want them to think that you have something in your head. You're not just empty-headed. So learn something to tell your bully, even if you could quote from anything. But it should be something that sounds like it's food for thought, that people don't know anything about it, or that's something that would, it's not well known, something that is not too well known, so that it would make them think. They have to stop and think. They can't just keep rushing ahead because you've given them something to stop, a reason to stop, you know, something to think about. John chapter 5. We're not going to go skip John chapter 5, I think. We're probably going to, is it long? Oh, it's very long, so we're going to have trouble getting through it. We got 11 minutes to do this. After these things, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, at the Sheep Gate, there is a pool designated in Hebrew Bethzatha, with five colonnades. In these, a multitude of the sick, blind, lame, and those with withered members was lying down. But a certain man was there, who had been in his sickness for 38 years. Seeing this man lying down and being aware that he had already been sick a long time, Jesus said to him, "Do you want to become sound in health?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I do not have a man to put me into the pool when the water is disturbed, but while I'm coming, another steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your cot, and walk." With that, the man immediately became sound in health, and he picked up his cot and began to walk. Now on that day it was a Sabbath. Therefore the Jews began to say to the cured man, "It is Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to carry the cot." But he answered them, "The very one that made me sound in health said to me, 'Pick up your cot and walk.'" They asked him, "Who's the man that told you, 'Pick it up and walk?'" But the healed man did not know who he was, for Jesus had turned aside, there being a crowd in the place. After these things, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have become sound in health. Do not sin anymore, in order that something worse does not happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews it was Jesus that made him sound in health. So on this account, the Jews went persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things during Sabbath. But he answered them, "My Father has kept working until now, and I keep working." On this account, indeed, the Jews began seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Therefore, in answer, Jesus went on to say to them, "Most truly I say to you, the Son cannot do a single thing of his own initiative, but only what he beholds the Father doing. For whatever things that one does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father has affection for the Son, and shows him all the things he himself has done or does, and he will show him works greater than these, in order that you may marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead up and makes them alive, so the Son also makes those alive whom he wants to. For the Father judges no one at all, but he has committed all the judging to the Son, in order that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He that does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most truly I say to you, he that hears my word and believes him that sent me has everlasting life, and he does not come into judgment, but is passed over from death to life. Most truly I say to you, the hour is coming, and it is now, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who have given heed will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted also to the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to do judging, because Son of Man he is. Do not marvel at this, because the hour is coming in which all those in the memorial tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who did good things to a resurrection of life. Those who practiced vile things to a resurrection of judgment. I cannot do a single thing of my own initiative. Just as I hear, I judge. And the judgment that I render is righteous, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bears witness about me, and I know that the witness which he bears about me is true. You have dispatched men to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. However, I do not accept the witness from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. That man was a burning and shining lamp, and you for a short time were willing to rejoice greatly in his light. But I have the witness greater than that of John. For the very works that my Father assigned me to accomplish, the works themselves that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father dispatched me. Also, the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his figure. And you do not have his word remaining in you, because the very one whom he dispatched you do not believe. You are searching the scriptures because you think that by means of them you will have everlasting life. And these are the very ones that bear witness about me. And yet you do not want to come to me that you may have life. I do not accept glory from men, but I well know that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in the name of my Father, but you do not receive me. If someone else arrived in his own name, you would receive that one. How can you believe when you are accepting glory from one another, and you are not seeking the glory that is from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, Moses, in whom you have put your hope. In fact, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for that one wrote about me. But if you do not believe the writings of that one, how will you believe my sayings?" That's John chapter 5. So we're at the end, just about, but I read that in about, I think, 11 minutes, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly. We've got another few minutes if we need it to wrap up here. I'd just rather play Oscar. But we were listening to Sea Jam. Let's go on to Georgia. We just did Georgia. Bag's Groove, I think, is pretty good. It's long. It'll take us out. Anyway. Oscar Peterson. The Oscar Peterson Trio. On Oscar Peterson Legacy. On YouTube. YouTube channel. That's the name of the album. The Oscar Peterson Trio is the name of the album, I believe. 1954 album. No, it's not. Wait a minute. No, because that's Lester Young. No, it can't be right. It can't be right, because this is Oscar. Who is Lester Young? He's a horn player. Tenor sax. Okay. Well, we don't hear saxophone on this. Okay, it's time to go. We gotta get off. If you're willing, we're gonna go. Ward Green. It's October 25th. 2022, 1737 hours. Thank you for listening. Have a nice day. I hope you're doing well. I hope you have a great whatever success in whatever you're attempting to do right now. But I'm going to go right now and saying goodbye for now. I love you.